Senate Bill 134. It's an act to revise the authority of the South Dakota Student Loan Corporation regarding private activity bonds. It's brought to us by Senator Dietrich. Welcome.
Thank you, Senator Everest. And committee, my brain normally doesn't function until after coffee break, but...
Well, you'll be happy to know ours doesn't either, so...
I'll try to do my best here. This basically is a very, very simple bill. It's I consider it the governor's bill because if you look on line six, you'll recognize that the governor is involved in this thing. And other, it's a cleanup bill, and should be easy to make a decision on. When the Student Loan Corporation, which is a multi-million dollar corporation in Aberdeen, South Dakota, was started, it was a non-profit entity. After X number of years, it turned out to be a for-profit corporation. The legal department tells us that lines part of 8, 9, and part of 10 need to be removed in order to continue business legally. And that's what this bill does. It's just a cleanup bill so they can continue to do business the proper way. Now, if there are any questions that I can't answer, I have Harvey Jewett, who's chairman of a sister corporation of this that controls millions of dollars, and of course Todd Meyer Henry is our bond counsel. And if you have any technical questions, they would be glad to answer them for you.
Thank you, Senator Dietrich. Are there any questions, Senator Simmons?
Senator Dietrich, on line 7, the special committee created in Chapter 488, what is that committee?
I believe that's the fund, seems so odd. Excuse me.
Harvey Jewett.
I was on the Student Loan Finance Board from its inception until about a year ago when it was reorganized under federal law. At a point in the old days, before the federal reorganization, it issued tax-exempt bonds, and it issued a lot of tax-exempt bonds, and George Mickelson decided that there should be a fee for issuing those bonds. This is what you're referring to is really the fund that was set up. There was a percent, so much of a percent, I want to say 0.2%, if I remember correctly, fund set up from the proceeds of those bond issues, and that's what's being referred to here. Yeah.
Are there other questions from the committee?
Senator Rose. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
Would it be helpful if Mr. Jewett and Mr. Meyer Henry came forward and sat
sure.
there and answered questions?
Sure.
Okay.
Be great. They only have one chair, however.
Sorry.
My question is lines 8 through eight through 10 that we are deleting. Says that it's going to be expended on programs or projects that directly benefit students. We're deleting that, so who benefits now when we take that out?
Let me try to answer that this way. The Student Loan Finance Corporation was a nonprofit corporation set up under federal law, owned by the federal government. So if anything happened to it, the federal government would come in and swoop the money back to the Treasury. They passed a bill that allowed Governor Janklow and Senator Daschle worked together, and they got a bill passed that allowed the reorganization of that. So Student Loan Finance Corporation became the Great Plains Foundation. So today, for example, if you remember, funded the purchase of equipment, getting started the Distance Learning Center, and things like that. It's a corporation with about $90 million of principal in a traditional foundation to support education. That still is a nonprofit corporation that became a foundation. at the time of the reorganization, a wholly owned subsidiary was formed and spun off. That was called EdLink. That then changed its name to Student Loan Finance Corporation. And that's a for-profit corporation, so it can't issue these bonds anyway. It's a regular, what survived is the Great Plains Corporation took all the value. It was appraised and approved by the federal government and the IRS and the governor and the attorney general and appraisals all over. The cash went into, and value went into the Great Plains Foundation. What's left is a for-profit corporation owned by the employees. It's an ESOP, if you're familiar with that term. And it operates as any other commercial business, so that the Student Loan Finance Corporation, as it exists today, is not issuing these bonds, nor are any of its receipts mandated. It's just a private business like Wells Fargo or anything like that. In fact, it's very comparable to Wells Fargo. They're competitors.
Other questions, Senator Shukart?
So in essence, what you're saying is since there never will be receipts or revenues into this fund from the South Dakota Student Loan Corporation anymore, it's absurd to have this in statute saying that those receipts or revenues into this fund may only be expended on, etc.
Correct. That's the short answer to my kind of long answer.
I just have one more question, if I may. Are there any revenues currently in this fund that would be affected by deleting this language from statute?
That I can't answer. There may be revenues that were paid on bond issues in years past that have not been expended, but I have no way of knowing that. Kurt escaped. He was the guy to answer that one.
Senator Simmons?
Yes, the committee created in Chapter 4-8A is the Appropriations Committee or Interim Appropriations Committee. So under the statute, any of these monies expended today has to be approved by the Appropriations Committee or the Interim Appropriations Committee. So that's what 4-8A is. But I guess I would like to know how many of these funds that are in this particular fund did come from the Student Activity Bond Fund fees.
Well, over the course of years, we started in 1978, but it wasn't until the mid-term of Governor Mickelson's term, really, that occurred to them to impose a fee for issuance of the bonds. And so we would have at least two bond issues every year, and we wouldn't have them smaller than $100 million. The last one we did before the split up was $1 billion. So there was a reasonable sum of money there, but there was this mechanism put in place to control the dispersal. I don't know how much.
Another question, if I could.
Senator Simmons?
Well, it would appear to me that if we strike this language, then that money that's in there that did come from those student activity bond fees could be expended for any particular purpose by the governor and the appropriations committee. And this is of particular interest to me because when I first came to the legislature some years ago and got on the appropriations committee, there was some money being spent out of this particular fund for other things. And the particular language sentence that you're trying to strike here was a sentence that was put in by a few of us on Appropriations Committee to make sure that the monies that were paid by the students as that bond fee, it came out of the students' pockets, would go to student activities, would go to their needs rather than to be expended somewhere else in the state, wherever that appropriations may go. And that was the purpose of this particular sentence. And I understand where you're coming from because you now don't sell bonds, you know, you don't have the bond fee. But beyond that, that money is still there. And my particular interest is the students paid it. It should still be going for educational purposes, student purposes somewhere, rather than being freed up to be expended anywhere. And that's my question. I'd like to know how many dollars are in there. And I understand you don't know that either, and I don't. Yeah. So something we can find out.
These were millions and millions and millions of dollars.
I understand that.
But I...
At times, I know that particular fund has had well in excess of $1 million in it. But I don't know what's there now.
Well, and if we feel the committee needs an answer to that discussion, I think we can find Kurt and bring him back up here.
The key reason that this has changed is because in 1997, the IRS changed their rules, and what was told to us was that they thought student loan, nonprofit student loan corporations were so profitable and so successful that the federal government didn't need to help student loans, that there was a market out there, that when they created it, there wasn't. You couldn't go get a student loan, and so they decided that they were going to, that if they didn't spend their money, they were going to take it in the simple non-tax description. And so it forced a majority of the non-profit entities that weren't a true arm of government to change to for-profit corporations. And there's quite a sweep across the country. A lot of the large ones switch, and so did South Dakota. And I think one of the concerns nobody has the answer is, will the federal government try to claim the money?
This money.
This money here. And so if you take that off, then it isn't their money. Just mix it up in amongst the money, and it doesn't become the federal government's money. But that was the stick that they pushed. You're going to, all that money, you won't have it, so do something with that corporation. Either put it inside government or convert to a for-profit. It was the best, was to change it to a for-profit and spin off that portion of it.
That's, if I may, yes. Madam Chairman, and that's the question I asked when we were putting this in. How does this fit under the governmental oversight on what was happening? And basically they said, well, the question's never been asked.
Yeah. I think there was a time when there wasn't any governmental oversight. In fact, I got a few questions.
I understand.
We paid that first fee, mm-hmm. and I got a few questions here about where that went and how it went.
Yeah, private activity.
I don't know. We just wrote the check. So I and then when the federal government mandated what is now the Great Plains Act, it was a wonderful thing for South Dakota. Rather than send $90 million to the federal government, I'm going to keep it here and spend the earnings in the very same way that you folks were talking about on the rolling averages. Treat that in the same way. So this is just kind of the tail end, Charlie. I doubt if there's tons of money here, but it cleans up the laws on private activity bonds. And in my understanding is the now existent for-profit student loan finance couldn't issue those anyway today. So, and without a whole bunch of federal law changes, so that's why Wheeler asked me to show up here.
Okay. Are there other questions from the committee? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Are there other
Madam Chairman?
Yes,
Senator. Harvey, or could we get a report on the fund now and what's happening? I'd sure enjoy looking at that.
On this fund?
Yeah. Well, on the total foundation.
We
can get this
resulting fund. But a Great Plains. Sure.
Yeah, it's a Great Plains.
We send that.
I'd love to look at
the governor and attorney general every year, of course, who are the statutory supervisors, right. As it were. But we'd be happy to send you.
Thank you.
We do publish an annual report that tries to tell people what we've done. So I guess.
And I want to say it's been a wonderful benefit to the state of South Dakota.
It was one of those things that came along, and student loan finance probably shouldn't have been a nonprofit anyway. It was an entity developed by the federal government, and they said, why'd we do that? And now we spun this off for us. They've got a tax-paying corporation. Aberdeen, and everybody wins on this one. Common sense occasionally triumphs.
Given enough time.
and I'm in no way degrading what's happened. I think it's been great.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. But we do know that there's been some rocky history with some of that, when some states were losing terrible amounts of money, and South Dakota went through that inspection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was... Those inspections were, as they turned out, they were all light and no fire. The federal government induced a $1 billion bond default out in Idaho, and the federal court finally told them they made it all up, which was pretty
much true of all those inspections. They finally ended up in the right place. So we'll get to that.
Thanks. And if the bill should go to the floor, we can always, I can't bring Kurt back up, but I think we can answer those questions.
No, and that, Madam Chairman, is what I want to answer, because I'd still like to see this money that did come directly from those students be used for education purposes, rather than saying, you know, they're just open up to however you want to spend them, because I think we have responsibility in what we did in the past to carry that forward.
Well, we'll see if we can get Kurt. In the meantime, are there other proponents to Senate Bill 134? Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 134? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 134? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 134? Okay, we're going to close for committee action and discussion, and we cannot find Kurt.
Madam Chair, I think it's important that we do pass this bill as it is right now, and because I think the other issue, because I do agree with the request that Senator Simmons is making, but I think that should not reflect this bill, and I think that's an issue that we need to maybe have Kurt come up at the next meeting that we have, either tomorrow or Monday, and because that should not, at least as far as I'm concerned, should not affect this portion of the bill.
Well, and I guess that's the question I have, Madam Chairman. You know, if we can, if this has to stand the way it is because of bond and federal government and so forth, I don't have a problem with that. But is there a way that we can make sure that happens? What should be happening in this process? And that's what I want to make sure happens. And we can do that on the floor. If we can do that, that's fine. But let's pursue that. Yep. I don't want to just say, hey, it's a done deal, and this is the only way we can do it.
I'm certain that we can get that information before this bill hits the floor for debate. So
that'll be tomorrow.
Well, it's amazing what the legislature can do when it's in session and has a mind to do it. So it will be done. Unless you want him to appear publicly before the committee, I know we can set up a meeting. And okay. Is there any other committee discussion or action on Senate Bill 134?
I would move do pass on Senate Bill 134.
Okay, it's been moved do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Bros. Okay, any further committee discussion? Hearing none, the secretary will call the roll. All those in favor of Senate Bill 134 will say aye. All those opposed will say nay.
Senator Bros?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
Huttmacher?
Aye.
Munson?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Whiting? Brown?
Aye.
Everest?
Aye.
Yeas, 8
Okay, Senate Bill 134 will travel to the floor.